A philosopher might have deplored this lack of mental ambition, but only if he was really certain about where his next meal was coming from. In fact, Lancre's position and climate bred a hard-headed and straightforward people who often excelled in the world down below. It had supplied the plains with many of their greatest wizards and witches, and once again the philosopher might have marvelled that such a four-square people could give the world so many successful magical practitioners, being quite unaware that only those with their feet on rock can build castles in the air. And so, the sons and daughters of Lancre went off into the world, carved out careers, climbed the various ladders of achievement, and always remembered to send money home. Apart from noting the return addresses on the envelope, those who stayed didn't think much about the world outside. The world outside thought about them, though. The big flat-topped rock was deserted now, but on the moor below the heather trembled in a V-shape, heading towards the lowlands.
"Gins a Haddy! Nack McFeagle!"
There are many kinds of vampires. Indeed, it is said that there are as many kinds of vampires as there are types of disease, which presumably means that some are virulent and deadly, and others just make you walk in a funny way and avoid fruit. And they're not just human, if vampires are human. All along the ramtops may be found the belief that any apparently innocent tool, be it hammer or saw, will seek blood if left unused for more than 3 years. In Ghat, they believe in vampire watermelons, although folklore is silent about what they believe about vampire watermelons. Possibly they suck back. Two things have traditionally puzzled vampire researchers. One is, why do vampires have so much power? Vampires are so easy to kill, they point out. There are dozens of ways to dispatch them, quite apart from the stake through the heart, which also works on normal people, so if you have any stakes left over, you don't have to waste them. Classically, they spend the day in some coffin somewhere with no guard other than an elderly hunchback who doesn't look all that spry and should succumb to a quite small mob. Yet just one can keep a whole community in a state of sullen obedience. The other puzzle is, why are vampires always so stupid? As if wearing evening dress all day wasn't an undead giveaway, why do they choose to live in old castles which offer so much in the way of ways to defeat a vampire, like easily torn curtains and wall decorations that can readily be twisted into a religious symbol? Do they really think that spelling their name backwards fools anyone? A coach rattled across the moorlands many miles away from Lancre. From the way it bounced over the ruts, it was travelling light, but darkness came with it. The horses were black, and so was the coach, except for the coat of arms on the doors. Each horse had a black plume between its ears. There was a black plume at each corner of the coach as well. Perhaps these caused the coach's strange effect of travelling shadow. It seemed to be dragging the night behind it. On the top of the moor, where a few trees grew out of the rubble of a ruined building, it creaked to a halt. The horses stood still, occasionally stamping a hoof or tossing their heads. The coachman sat hunched over the reins, waiting. Four figures flew just above the clouds in the silvery moonlight. By the sound of their conversation, someone was annoyed, although the sharp, unpleasant tone to the voice suggested that a better word might be vexed.
"You let it get away."
This voice had a whine to it, the voice of a chronic complainer.
"It was wounded, lackey."
This voice sounded conciliatory, parental, but with just a hint of repressed desire to give the first voice a thick ear.
"I really hate those things. They're so soppy."
"Yes, dear, a symbol of a credulous past."
"If I could burn like that, I wouldn't skulk around just looking pretty. Why do they do it?"
"It must have been of use to them at one time, I suppose."
"Then they're, what did you call them?"
"An evolutionary cul-de-sac, lackey, a marooned survivor on the seas of progress."
"Then I'm doing them a favour by killing them."
"Yes, that is a point. Now,
after all, chickens don't burn," said the voice called lackey. "Not easily, anyway."
"We heard your experiment. Killing them first might have been a good idea."
This was a third voice, young, male, and also somewhat weary with the female. It had older brother harmonics on every syllable.
"What's the point in that?"
"Well, dear, it would have been quieter."
"Listen to your father, dear."
And this, the fourth voice, could only be a mother's voice. It had loved the other voices, whatever they did.
"You're so unfair." "We did let you drop rocks on the pixies, dear. Life can't all be fun."